Dream big, we sometimes hear. Live out your dreams, find your dream home, your dream job, your dream partner. The image is that dreams are always about some great success or joy in our lives. It's your hopes and dreams that matter. Perhaps you remember, though, the first time you let your child watch a scary movie and they had bad dreams for months. Exactly at the same time when you said, I got to remember not to do that next time. John Allen is a Vatican correspondent. He tells the story of being the commentator for the largest TV event in history. It was Pope John Paul II's funeral, perhaps a billion viewers. Pacing in his hotel before the event, he suddenly realized the enormity of the whole thing, and he turned to his wife and said, did you ever imagine in your wildest dreams that I would be commentating at the largest TV audience in history? She paused and then said, dear, honey, I don't know how to tell you this, but you aren't even in my wildest dreams. Parents, you'll have to explain that to your children. Now, Joseph really did have some wild dreams. I imagine the conversation between husband and wife, Joseph and Mary, imagining it. Wake up, dear. Another dream, Joseph? What did your angel tell you to do this time? So for the fourth time, an angel had asked Joseph to do something really hard for his wife, Mary, and their child, Jesus. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Take the child and his mother and go to Egypt. Take the child and his mother and go to Israel. Now go to Nazareth. In each case, Joseph's dreams, which are really visions given to him by God with a real angel, are reminders of the Holy Family, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, and how they suffered great distress as a family. Even the family of Jesus was not given a free ride, a free pass through the difficulties of life. Instead, they experienced the greatest of tribulations. Travel in dangerous territory, insecurity, the threat of annihilation and harm to their son. Through dreams, Mary and Joseph received their tasks, their mission impossible. I can only imagine that it was not on their bucket list to raise the Savior of the world and keep him safe against the inevitable attacks by the forces of evil. It required their full cooperation, but it also would have God's direct help, not with armies, but with a path through the dangers and the travels. In the process, Mary and Joseph made space in their hearts and minds to allow God to work through them. The Holy Family was not on some modern-day quest to find meaning and happiness in their own lives, but they were ready to allow their lives the meaning that God had already planned for them to enter in. Now, today's gospel, this particular year, centers on Joseph's obedience to the incredible responsibility he was given. Believing Mary, with the help of a dream, his responsibility was now to care for and protect a child who was born of the Holy Spirit, and Mary, who was chosen to be the child's mother. No one has ever been given such a task, such a quest, and yet Joseph, it seems, was ready to go. Personally, I can't imagine this. It feels more natural for me never to be ready to go and always be holding back. And yet Joseph must have had some high anxiety over all these situations. But we witness his silent obedience. Why doesn't Joseph ever say anything? This isn't an accident. Joseph is not silent in sacred scripture because he can't speak or because the gospel writers chose to reduce him in some way. Joseph is silent because his response to God is his speech. His actions speak louder than any words. Of course, he was human and he must have been troubled by the dream requests, but he obeyed God and he did what was required to protect his family. What we need to be aware of is that Joseph is a key figure in all of history, in particular our salvation history. He's right at the central point in the working out of God's plan of salvation. So the first thing that we could notice among many is that Joseph did what Adam did not do. He protected his wife from evil, whereas Adam stood by and failed to protect his wife from the serpent's intimidation. Next, we might notice that, like the Joseph of old, who was one of the sons of Jacob, he was an interpreter of dreams. Both had a father named Jacob, both were persecuted, both went to Egypt, and both saved their families. Thus, Joseph, the husband of Mary, took on the mission of saving his family from harm, similar to the Joseph of old. Herod was a king obsessed only by his own security rather than that of the people that he governed. He did every cruel thing that he could to put an obstacle in the way of God's plan of salvation. Through Joseph's cooperation, God countered this evil and continued to work out that very plan of salvation. Darkness opposed the light that was Jesus Christ, but it was Joseph who led his family in holiness and demonstrated to his adopted son, probably in many ways over his life, what it means to confront persecution, which of course Jesus would experience many times, and to trust God without holding back, which of course Jesus did on the cross. The Holy Family shows us that family is the foundation stone of salvation and a model for us, and we could still say a foundation stone of culture itself, of society. Now, all families we know have struggles and challenges. So it's an important sign for us and a reminder of the need for leaders of family to turn to God when their families are threatened in some way. Joseph did this through absolute obedience, and we are invited to enter that path of obedience. We recognize, of course, today that families are very different than they were even a couple of generations ago, aren't they? The family is under threat of being redefined out of existence by laws and certain ways of thinking. There are also the tremendous modern-day stresses of the need for two incomes, of addictions, of anxiety, of competition for time and energy, even from entertainment media, or the belief in permissive behaviors. The list goes on and on and on, the threats to family today. So we should see ourselves as being united in some way to the Holy Family, maybe not by the exact circumstances, but by the need to protect our families from the evils that are present. So there are some basic principles that still apply. Paul admonishes children to care for their parents, but also not for fathers not to provoke their children, or they may lose heart. So there is a balance within the family. Sirach says that whoever honors their father atones for sins. My child, help your father in his old age. Even if his mind fails, be patient with him. I'm sending this directly to my son right after Mass here today so that he remembers when I start to lose my mind. All of this happens in family, but God is saying not just to Joseph and Mary, but to all of us, no matter the circumstances we have had to deal with, God has given us the mission to become saints. There is no greater quest, there is no greater activity, and it is already ours, it has been given to us. Mary and Joseph's son has already taken care of the hardest part. He has paved the way to heaven with the sacrifice of his own body and blood and has gone before us to conquer the evils, the dragons that we face. Our task now, the invitation put out there for us, is to join his family as sons and daughters. Now, Joseph had to take his family to a foreign land to keep them safe from the king of his own land, and we must do whatever is necessary to protect our families, those who are fathers and mothers, whether it is mothers, sometimes mothers fulfilling that role, sometimes grandparents. Perhaps we don't have to have the level of holiness of the Holy Family. Maybe we're not in the running, or we don't feel we're in the running for the Holy Family of the Year award. But we are called to be obedient to the task that is already in front of us. The grace is there to live that life as well as possible. Perhaps we know that in many families there is brokenness, Perhaps we feel that it is difficult to honor our own fathers and mothers. Perhaps we feel that somehow we and our families have blown it in some way. And yet the Holy Family tells us it's not too late. Our faith tells us that in the world, it's sometimes too late to fix things. But in the life of faith, it is never too late, because the goal is salvation. The goal is heaven. This is God's wildest dream for us. Today, you and I, brothers and sisters, are invited to enter into that dream.